Matt Bubala Show on 720 WGN. Good morning, everybody. 312-981-7200 is the number. Dr. Tracy Weiland is the author of Digital Disruption, The Future of Work, Skills, Leadership, Education, and Careers in a Digital World. And she joins us on the phone right now. Hey, Dr. Tracy, how are you?
Oh, very good. How are you today? Thanks for having me.
We're doing good. Thanks for staying up a little later with us. The book is available for pre-order on Amazon and other sites right now. You can visit Tracy at tracyweiland.com. The workforce of the future is a fascinating place for those of us that are in it now, as well as our kids that are coming through. I have a 16-year-old son who's looking at colleges, and I often wonder how the workplace is going to be for people like that, as well as for people like us, because I think it's interesting for those of us that have been in the workforce for 20 or more years. It was a very different place when we first started. When I was first getting out of college in 1994, the Internet was a bit of a novelty still that was coming along. Certainly, it's changed immensely. Facebook was not around. Not everybody had a cell phone all the time. And that has impacted not only our lives, but our work in an everyday way, maybe more than anything else has in the last 50 or 70 years, I would bet. Does that sound possibly true?
Oh, absolutely. And I think what people don't realize is how fast the change is happening. So just from when you graduated to today, the number of technologies and companies that have emerged and that have just changed our lives, and that will continue to keep changing faster and faster. And that's what I think people are trying to grapple with today.
So let's talk about those of us that have been in the workforce for a while. How much do people need to adapt? I think that, you know, people that are in their 40s and 50s, they've used cell phones for a long time. They're used to the internet and Facebook and things like that. Are there other ways that we need to adjust to the ever-changing workforce?
Oh, sure. So there's a couple of factors that are impacting you just in the workforce. Number one, the projections of your life are much longer today. Research reports keep coming out that we're living to 100. The newest one says we're living to 115. That in itself is just changing your work life, because where you may have thought you would only have to work for 30 or 40 years, the reality is that you're probably going to have to work for 60 or 70 years just so you can afford to retire. And the span of the knowledge that you have to really adopt to stay relevant will increase, whether it's staying healthy enough, educated enough, or technical enough. But in terms of, you know, how do you cope with it, I encourage people to really try to adapt or learn about two technologies that are in your industry. So if you're in manufacturing, it might be robotics and 3D printing. If you're in the media, for example, it might be social media, digital marketing. Learn about the technologies that are impacting and changing your industry so that you can keep up with it.
Yeah, you can't just bury your head and say, well, I do what I do. I only have a few more years left. It's interesting you say 115 years. So that's affecting us in a couple of ways. One is, like you said, we're going to have to work longer or save a lot more for retirement than maybe we had planned on, right? Because I think in general, at least probably 10 or 15 years ago, when you were planning for retirement or speaking to somebody, you were thinking, okay, if I retire at 65, I need 30 years. Maybe you plan for 30 years, say, well, 95, that's a long time. So you plan out maybe 30 years. You're saying you might need an additional 20 years of income because we're living so long now.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there are people today who are actually retired longer than they had worked.
Yeah.
And they didn't expect that. And so you have to really think through, I can't drop out of the workforce in my 50s. I can't drop out of the workforce in my 60s. You know, I really need to stay in there until my 70s or 80s. But if you just flip the coin there, if you are a manager or a leader or a chief executive in an organization, what you're seeing is it used to be three generations in the workforce. But in some companies, such as like McDonald's and Walmart, they have four generations or even five generations in a workforce. McDonald's was telling me the youngest employee was 14 and a half, part-time permit, but Walmart's oldest employee is 103. That was a gardener. Yeah. It's mind-boggling because you as a leader or a manager now have to manage five different generations in the workforce. Everybody has different ideas about work, leadership, even about technology, right? And how are you going to manage that today? And it was very different years ago.
You know, and if we're going to work later, I wonder how you advise people on the type of work they choose, because a lot of times you used to get a job, you'd work it till you were 65, you'd have a pension or you'd have your money saved or whatever. Now, if we're saying, well, you're not going to last with that money. So you're really going to have to work to, say, 70 or 75 or 80. Well, if I'm going to work into my 80s, that's a longer slog of doing something that I maybe don't love just for the money to get through it. Because when we retire at 65, the theory is we're still young enough to travel, to go do things, to have a pretty exciting life. If you don't retire till you're 80, that's going to be a lot tougher to do a lot of travel or a lot of the things maybe you wanted to do in retirement.
Yes, and our lives are now 24/7 and much more integrated, and I would certainly encourage people to start thinking through a more integrated life. And a part of what I talk about is, you know, is it time for a career selfie, which is making this timeline and taking a snapshot of yourself or focusing in on where you are today and where you want to be when you're 80, where do you want to be when you're 70 and 60, and, you know, how are you going to get there? Because you need to plan now for a 24/7 life, all aspects of it in the same way that you used to plan just for work and then your separate life or your separate retirement.
And so when we talk to younger kids then who are going into the workforce, and I wanted to ask you about this anyways, because I wonder how you would recommend to kids. When I went to school, and I went to a liberal arts college, St. Mary's up in Minnesota, and it was a wonderful time of my life and I wouldn't trade it for the world. Now I'm getting ready to send a son off to college. And a lot of what we think about, because the costs have changed so astronomically in the 25 years since I went to college, there's a lot of pressure on kids these days to know why they're going to a certain college. What are you there to study? Why are you spending all this money on this college? Because of the cost, to know exactly what they're doing. And it used to be you kind of went off to college to figure out what you wanted to do. Now, maybe some kids knew that I'm going to become a doctor, a scientist, or an engineer. And so they were going very specifically. But for a lot of kids, when you're 16, 17, 18, the world's still pretty new and you don't exactly know what you want to do. And I wonder, because we're going to now have to work, not for the next 40 years, but maybe for the next 60, 65 years after college, is it more important than ever to get into college and kind of figure out a little more who you are and what you really want to do with your life?
Well, I encourage students today to really start thinking about, even at the high school level, of internships and talking to people in interesting industries that maybe their parents don't even know exist. That you could be finding friends on Facebook, talking to them about what kind of jobs are out there, what does it mean, going to different websites just to understand, because a lot of young people say, I don't want to work for Google. Well, Google gives a lot of information on their website. You can even do Skype interviews with them to find out about what is it about, what are the jobs today. So you almost have to start in a much earlier, and a lot of schools are really embracing that. They're doing more partnerships with companies. They're doing more shadowing. They're doing summer opportunities. And then when you get into college, take your general courses. I always say get your general courses out of the way so that you're not flailing right in your junior and senior year, but then also really think about getting experience. I like to see more people just really getting out there and so they can figure out, do I like this job in data mining, or would I prefer the healthcare system? You know, what is it that I can do with myself so it can help me define my major and minor, so some people take double majors and minors, later on, right? So get your credentials out of the way and then start focusing in with the experience.
We're speaking with Dr. Tracy Weiland. Her book is Digital Disruption, The Future of Work, Skills, Leadership, Education, and Careers in a Digital World. It's available for pre-order right now. When we come back, I want to ask her a little bit about women in the workforce, especially in the post-Harvey Weinstein era. We'll talk about that next here on 720 WGN. Matt Bubala with you here, 720 WGN. Dr. Tracy Weiland is the author of Digital Disruption, The Future of Work, Skills, Leadership, Education, and Careers in a Digital World. You can visit her at TracyWeiland.com. That's TracyWeiland.com. Dr. Weiland, there was a story earlier this week about a girl named Taylor Barnes up in Winnipeg, Canada. She'd applied for a job at a place called Skip the Dishes. Have you heard this story?
No, please tell me.
So she got a second interview And before that happened, she wrote to the person she was corresponding with there and said, "Hi, Victoria, I had another question that I wanted to ask you. If I do end up filling this position, how much do you think I'll be getting paid an hour? Benefits will also be included, right? Sorry, I just thought I should ask now. Thanks for your time and have a lovely day." And then she put a smiley face emoji. Best, Taylor Barnes. Taylor got a response from Victoria saying, hold on, they only have half of it here, but let me try to pull this up so you can hear the whole thing. She says, "Your questions are valid ones." Oh, no, hold on. "Your question, hello, Taylor. Your questions reveal that your priorities are not in sync with those of Skip the Dishes. At this time, we will not be following through with our meeting this Thursday." So because she asked about her wage and benefits before the second interview, they just wrote back and said, "Yeah, we're not going to do that second interview." So she wrote something else back to them that I don't have. But then they wrote back and said, "Hello, Taylor, your questions are valid ones, and we would like to clarify where we may not have communicated our position clearly. As a startup company, we seek out those who go out of their way to seek out challenges and new opportunities. We believe in hard work and perseverance in pursuit of company goals, as opposed to focusing on compensation. Our corporate culture may be unique in this way, but it is paramount that staff display intrinsic motivation and are proven self-starters. For these reasons, questions about salary at such an early point in the process shows that blah, 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 blah." So for workers entering the workforce, I mean, and somebody, you know, I've read the story and I've read what people were writing about it. And somebody wrote, you know, "It's time that companies stop pretending that we're working because we love the work. And let's all face it, no matter where we work, overall, we are working because we need to or want to make money." What do you think about that situation?
Yeah, I mean, you do. You have to be able to afford, as we just talked about, to live and work longer so that you can retire. My sense is that not knowing the context of the story and how the interview went, is it could have been related to also the timing of the question. You know, I don't know where that individual was in the interview process. You know, most of us would say, you know, when you're exploring a job, you want to make sure that you're fit for the job and the job is fit for you first. And then once you determine that this is where you want to work and they want to hire you, then the discussion of salary comes up. And it's usually initiated by the employer. So that is interesting that this individual had to push the conversation. But maybe she or he had already gotten the job offer. I don't know.
No, she had not. She had had one interview. And she had a second interview scheduled. She was to come back in for a second interview. And she would send an email beforehand and say, "Hey, just another quick question. You know, how much do you think I'd be getting an hour? And will there be benefits?"
Yeah.
And that's when they pulled the plug.
Yeah. Yeah. My sense is that could have been, again, not reading the story, it could have been a little bit about timing. Because if you're coming in for a second interview, there could be 50 other people also coming in for a second interview. So that's almost like you're making a presumption there that you're already hired, and you're moving into the salary discussion maybe prematurely. You know, so usually you get into the salary discussion when you know you're going to be hired. So again, you know, I don't know. But the point is, and then also the other thing is, given the amount of technology we have today, you would already know. You can go Glassdoor.com, Salary.com, all of these different places, and you would be able to know in advance how much money you would be paid and what the going hourly rate is. I'm not big on this on the emoji, you know, the smiley face signings. You know, the world of work is still a professional world, and so that, you know, that you just don't know if the HR person was even turned off by, you know, the XOXO smiley face kind of response. So, you know, not being there, I can't answer that directly. But there's nothing wrong with having a salary discussion before you accept a job, because you absolutely do want to know what you're getting paid and paid at a competitive rate.
And I think it's somewhat, I can see it both ways. You shouldn't be asking, you know, you're fighting other people for this job. You need to show them you want the job. On the other hand, if they say, well, there's no benefits and it's $8 an hour, and you know that I cannot afford that, so I cannot take this job, you just save them the time. So where does that balance out? You would say that she probably should have held off, been in the second interview, and maybe just asked the question then?
I think you have to do your homework, because you would go into that interview having a good sense of what the job rate is, and you would go to the company website to understand the benefits before you even start your discussions. And I think a lot of people miss out that piece in the interview. you need to do a tremendous amount of more homework today before you even go in for a job interview because it's so much more available. So if you don't do your homework, then shame on you for not even knowing that information. Now, if it wasn't published there and you go in and have this dialogue, then, you know, yes, you can ask about all of it. But it sounds like she was or he was way ahead in the hiring expectations than the company was. I think it sounded like the company is still doing screenings and questions and trying to get a right fit before getting to that actual salary discussion, which usually reserve to the point when you're going to hire someone. So again, not being there, I can't, you know, put my finger on exactly what went wrong and what, you know, what the media is upset about or concerned about.
Well, and I don't know, with a startup, can you generally find out what they're paying if it's a startup, if it's a relatively newer company? If you do the research, you still should be able to figure that out?
You can, you know, there's a lot of people out there who submit their salary requirements to all of these websites in exchange for intelligence on what the pay rates are. Mm. And these are like, as I mentioned, payscale.com, glassdoor.com, salary.com. You know, there's a lot of information available today. And so that's why I just say, did she do homework before she went in? Did she talk to anyone who works for the company? You know, do you know, what the going rates are for a similar job in a similar industry? Do you know that before you even come into the interview? And then timing, did she write the question about what the job is, or was it a question that she asked while in the interview? Because a lot of it is context, too, you know, like a by-the-way email versus you're sitting down with a hiring manager, you're talking about a job. You're asking a lot of questions back and forth,
right?
And then you can, you know, salary, benefits, all of, you know, transportation, location, hour, you know, all of this would come up as part of a natural dialogue. But as an afterthought in an email, that might be their interpretation of like, oh, I hope she or he doesn't, you know, discuss like this with customers, you know, send these kinds of emails. So they may have been looking, reacting to other things. I don't know.
Well, it's interesting in their response saying, you know, the fact that you're concerned about that, we want people that are hardworking, self-starters, and perseverance pays off. It kind of sounds like you can't be concerned about the money if you want to work here. It's sort of like asking, how much is that? Well, if you have to ask, you can't afford it. If you need to ask how much you get paid, you can't afford to work here because it's not going to be that much for a startup, and the payoff is down the road, that type of thing. We only have a couple minutes left, Dr. Weiland, so let me ask you real quick. The show that's on before me, Patty Vasquez here at WGN, last week we were talking about what the fallout will be for women in the workplace from all of the scandals that are being broken right now and women stepping up and saying what's really going on in the workforce and in the world. And Patty was concerned that women are going to get fewer opportunities, that it's going to mean that companies will say, this isn't worth the risk, things like that, and women might not get as many opportunities. I'm hopeful that companies are going to step up and give women more opportunities because there's such a backlash, because they feel they need to help level the playing field. Christine Amanpour getting Charlie Rose's job on PBS, I think, is maybe a good first step, that there are all these qualified women who have not been getting opportunities. Where do you think we're headed post-Weinstein?
Yeah, I think women are going to be corporate America's killer app today, and I think the opportunities will be there, and women should be raising their hand to do the fill in the pipeline. There's always been an argument that there aren't enough women in the pipeline, but the other argument is that men are just, you know, they're there, as you mentioned with Charlie Rose, forever, right? So now if you're moving out some of the blockades, now we can get our pipeline up to shine there. And so I think it's a great opportunity for women, and they should be raising their hand for these opportunities. Then I also say women should be starting their own businesses, because you really want women in the leadership, not only in the organizations, corporations, but also in their own businesses so that they can hire people and fill their own pipelines, because women do things differently, and they're well suited to run businesses, have leadership roles, and really, you know, really taking charge there. So I'm very excited about women today.
The book is Digital Disruption, The Future of Work Skills, Leadership, Education, and Careers in a Digital World. Dr. Tracy Weiland, you can pre-order it now. Visit her online at Tracy Weiland, WILEN.com, at Tracy Weiland on Twitter as well. Thank you so much for jumping on the phone with us.
Thank you.